The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want to just spend some time. I think too often Memorial Day has been the day, you know, it's a travel day. People get on the road, they go to the beach, they have hot dogs and all of those wonderful things. And I'm not opposed to those things. But it's a day to remember those who paid the ultimate price. And so we're going to spend time today in a memorial service, remembering those who gave so much. And I believe by the time the morning is over, you'll have a refreshing in your spirit and a desire in your heart to remember the families of those who have given so very, very much. So I've entitled the sermon today, Why We Choose to Remember Memorial Day. And for our scripture, we have, there we go. We do? There we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a, I can't even read that. I can read it here. Do not use your freedom to cover up evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. Just from a technical standpoint, that looks good on a computer screen, but sometimes when we put it up here, it's not quite as clear as I might be at home. So, but we choose to remember those who gave so very much. Memorial Day began back actually in 1868 when they began to bring flowers and put flowers on the graves of those Union and Confederate soldiers. And we have a video that I want you to see. And we have several videos this morning. And this one is a song. And the title of the song is Tell My Father. And it is about a Confederate soldier, Union soldier, Civil War soldier.
My youth, so the tell him how I wore the blue, proud and true, through the fire. Tell my father so he'll know I love him so.
Kind of puts a face on it, doesn't it, for you to see it and to realize the horrific price that's paid for you and I to be here today in this place called America. There's been a long column of those who paid the price for freedom, brave men and women who stood up for freedom and who fell for freedom. The pulpits have always heralded the freedom of the cross and the freedom of the flag. And that's my job. That's what I get the privilege of doing, is to tell you about both. Some say that Memorial Day is a thing that maybe you shouldn't be talking about. You know, it's a patriotic national thing, and we ought to just stick to the Bible. Well, I've got news for you. We wouldn't have a free church if it wasn't for a free nation. You know, we wouldn't be here. We live and breathe and enjoy the freedom. We're gathering together here today because to speak of the freedom that Christ provides because of those who paid so very much. There's a man here in town that I've had the privilege of knowing. His name is Bill. And if you ever go to the Slidell Athletic Club, you'll see a gentleman, probably he's got to be his late 50s, 60 years old. He's got a bald head. His name's Bill. He works at the front desk. And what makes Bill unique is that his dad went off to World War II when his mom was pregnant. And his dad never came home. And there's a real face, a real person that I know who not only did his dad pay the ultimate price on the battlefields of Europe, but he paid a price, never knowing his dad. His mother paid a price as she raised three children without dad around. And I don't say this to be detrimental to anyone who would do something different, but his mother chose to honor his dad's memory by never remarrying and raised that family herself. And she's now since been able to join her husband as she's left this world. But those stories are told over and over and over again. And I want to read you something this morning. It was, it's very famous, but you've heard it, but I think you'll really appreciate hearing it maybe in a little slower canter in this environment. It was told by the 35th President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, when he was inaugurated in the year 1961. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read enough for you to get a feel for what's important in America. Fellow citizens, I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now. For man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary belief for which our forefathers fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and this place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we commit today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to ensure the survival and success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. Powerful, powerful words that resonate from the year 1961 forward and backward in history to remind us of who we are and the price that's paid to keep us who we are. And so this Memorial Day in the year 2013, we want to talk about why America still stands and is able to celebrate those who established Independence Day, July 4th, 1776, and those who sustained freedom to this very day. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is we choose to remember Memorial Day because freedom was established as a just cause. And I chose as a scripture to use from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 and 46. And this is familiar to you. Goliath stood before Israel and railed against her. A little shepherd boy by the name of David showed up bringing lunch to his brothers. And when he saw what was going on, he said, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." And I would say that there is a God in America still worthy of praise. It has been God's intent from the Garden of Eden through the blood-soaked stones of Golgotha's Hill to the ink that was used to sign and pen our Declaration of Independence that people should be free. People deserve to be free, not because of what they've done, not because of who they are, not because of their social status, not because of the nation or the flag they were born under, but they deserve to be free, for God ordained that we should be a free people. There was a man that I knew who was a missionary to the Micronesian Islands. And he told me while he was there, he had a boat that was capable of traveling between the islands. And he went to the island of Iwo Jima, and he climbed up the mountain that we've seen that famous picture of the flag that was raised there. And he said on the top of that mountain there was a stone or a granite monument, and it had a brass plate on it. And he said that some of the bolts had rusted, and it was just hanging on by one bolt, and it tipped down. And the inscription on that monument said, "Lest we forget, lest we forget." And he said it kind of just struck him that it almost like, because it was in such disrepair, that we had forgotten. And freedom is something that needs to be maintained, you know. And it takes every generation to do it. Torch has been passed to us, and those of us who are getting up in age, we need to make sure that we pass it on to the next generation. Be it the children that we have in our churches and our family, that they would know I'd encourage you as parents and grandparents to take your kids down to the D-Day Museum. If you haven't been there, let them see, let them hear, let them experience what that is. If you've been in the service, sit down and share with your kids the stories of your life in the service. I know we have very, very many military people in our church. Tell them what you were in. Tell them where you served. Tell them what you did. You didn't have to be in the battlefield, but that you served. When you put on that uniform and you swear that oath of allegiance, it puts you in a very select group of people in my mind and in my heart and in the heart and mind of this nation. Bob Riles, whom you all know, was here with me. I was at his house yesterday, and we were talking about the subject, and I was telling him what I was planning on speaking about today. And he told me an interesting story. He got up on a flight, and I'm not sure where he was going, but I think he was going to Europe because he just made a trip to Europe as a missionary. And he said it came over the announcement. They said, we're getting ready to leave the tarmac to get out to the strip, the landing strip. What do you call it, thing? The airstrip. I'll say it in a minute. Yeah, the runway. That's what I'm looking for. And he said they announced that they had a special passenger on board. It was a man, I think he said he was in his 90s, who was a sergeant, and he gave his name. Was a World War II veteran that was flying with him that day. And he says the whole plane broke out in spontaneous applause. And I thought, and I told Bob, I said, man, that's why I love America. There's just a heart of America that cares for those who serve. And just when you have the opportunity, you see someone in uniform, especially today, go up to them and thank them. It doesn't have to be a long speech. Just thank you. Shake their hand. Let them know. Do something. If you can, I've done this on occasion. If they're in a restaurant somewhere, and if I see a man in uniform or a woman in uniform, and I'll buy their meal for them. They don't even know it's me. You know, just to do that one thing, to say, we appreciate what you do for us. Jesus came and declared that people were to be free. He said, I have come to set captives free. The freedom that we enjoy as believers, as we know and we speak of so frequently here, did not come without a cost. It cost God's only begotten Son everything that we could say, I am free. The songs we sang this morning, and I love that selection of songs that we had, despite the technical difficulties we were encountering, I just love those songs. I am free to live, to breathe, to dance, to enjoy heaven on earth today and eternity because of what someone else did to provide that freedom for me. David refused to let Goliath strip freedom from Israel. He stood up, just a boy, and you know the story. Saul tried to dress him in the armor of a man, and he said, these things won't work for me, but I know what works for me. My weapons are not the weapons of this world. My weapons are different. And they were a sling and a stone. And he slew Goliath, and what he did, he kept his word and cut off his head. And the whole army was routed that day, and a great victory took place. But one single, solitary man, boy, who had the courage and the gumption to stand up and say, we will not bow to anyone. And I think in the spiritual world, and I know in the spiritual realm, that we need to say that. We will not bow to Satan. We will not bow to sin. We will not bow to our old way of life. We will serve Christ and Him alone, and we will speak proudly of it. And in the same manner, we need to speak proudly about the freedom of America. The pulpits have been hamstrung by laws, unjust laws, passed in this nation that say that if I speak about certain subjects, that I can run the risk of losing a 501c3 tax-exempt status. Goodbye, tax-exempt status. I will say whatever God tells me to say. I will speak for and against anything that tampers with the freedom of Christ and the freedom of America. That's my pledge to God, myself, and to you, that I will do that. I am not afraid to speak out. And those of you who were here, and I almost did it today, and I didn't because I wanted to wear my red, white, and blue outfit. I almost wore my black robe this morning, which I preached that sermon series before about the Black Robe Regiment. Those were the men who stood in the pulpits and spoke out against the tyranny of England and King George against this nation. And it was the pulpits that led the rally that brought the revolution that brought freedom to us to be a free nation today. I used to believe, and I was wrongly taught this in school, that we were a rebellious nation, and we're still rebellious because we were born out of rebellion. That is not true. We are a godly nation born from the pulpits of America back in the 1700s and the 1600s, and by all those who came here because of their religious freedom. That's who we are. We are not rebellious, and any law passed by any government anywhere on the planet that is contrary to the Word of God is no law at all and does not need to be obeyed. And I believe we have a responsibility to speak against those laws and to not follow those laws. And there may be a cost associated with that, but there's a cost associated with freedom and the truth, and we cannot be shy, and we must be bold to speak out. You know, there's an old ancient saying here in America, and I don't know where it came from, says we don't talk about politics and religion. Well, look at the mess we've gotten ourselves into with that kind of philosophy. It's time to speak up. Amen. Speak the truth. People may not like it, but they need to hear the truth. Allison was telling me a story. She's our church secretary, as you know, one of them. And she told me a story Tuesday about she spoke out about something. And I appreciate Allison. You know where you stand with Allison. Well, there's no doubt about it. I love her for that. I mean, she's just honest, and she spoke out about a subject because it was true. And somebody didn't like it, but they heard the truth. And we need to speak the truth. And if people don't like the truth, there's nothing you can do about that. Because the truth is always true. Freedom in the hands of a godly people will never fail. Freedom in the hands of a godly people will never fail. Freedom in the hands of a godly people will never fail. But when God's people don't do what they're supposed to do, freedom will disappear. It happens. It happens all the time. It happened most frequently that I can think of in a broad way. In Germany, had the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ stood up against Nazism and against Hitler, over 70 million people would still be alive today. But they didn't speak out. They just went along with the status quo. They let the government run roughshod over their beliefs. And because of that, 70 million people died in this century. That is past century. We have a responsibility to speak out and tell the truth. We owe it to those who shed their blood to speak out for the truth when it needs to be spoken. Freedom is established by God. We are free to worship Him. We're free to worship God. We can work. We can swing off the chandeliers. We don't have any chandeliers. We have to use these light fixtures. We can swing off them. We can sing. We can dance. We can do whatever we want because of the price that's been paid to give us our religious freedom and our American freedom. It's not that way all over the planet. There are people today. We had our baptismal service last week. What a joy it was to see those folks get baptized. I mean, I love it. The more we baptize, the happier I am. You want to see me happy? Bring some folks in there, need to find Jesus, get them saved, and let me be there when they get baptized. I'm a happy boy. I'm still basking in the glory of that. Because of that, nobody came along and said, you're under arrest. Nobody said, you can't do this. Nobody said, shut up, you can't use the name of Jesus. There was an invisible army of soldiers of the United States of America who gave their lives, who surrounded that church that day and this church this day and said, we paid a price so that you can have your religious freedom. Thank God for those who paid the price. Thank God that we have a free America today. And thank God that we will have the gumption, and we should have the gumption, and pray God we have the gumption to keep it free. If we won't do our job, it won't be here. We are free to join in the choir of the Black Robe Regiment in the early 1776 banner that rang out. It was in every newspaper in the colonies. No king, but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. We do not bow to our government, to our president, our senate, or those in the office over us. We respect them, but we do not bow to them. We bow to Jesus Christ and Him alone. We follow the great admonition of the apostle when they were arrested for preaching Jesus, and they said, "You cannot use that name anymore." And they said, "You judge whether we should follow your admonition or follow the admonition of God." And they chose to follow the admonition of God. And we need to do that exact same thing. Okay, second thing I want to talk to you about. We choose to remember Memorial Day because freedom is maintained through sacrifice. John 15:12-13. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." True love sacrifices. And there is a sacrifice that comes with it to maintain it. American history is the shedding of blood so that others can be set free. This is a flag that belonged to my wife's uncle, who went to Europe as a young man. I read in his diary, I believe he got to Omaha Beach on June the 8th. I believe it was the 8th or the 9th that he got there. And he went all through Europe and saw many things that transformed and changed his life. Not in some ways for the better, to see the carnage of war. And he lived to be a ripe old man. He came home and had his sweetheart who he married before he left, and lived a good life, solitary life, started a little hardware store business, and did the things that we all do as American. And when he died as an old man, this flag was draped on his coffin. And those words that we've heard so often, "On behalf of a grateful nation, we present this flag to you." And this flag was presented to his family. His wife had already preceded him in death. And it has in this little packet some of the medals and a little bit of the history about him. His dog tags are here that he wore during the war. Those of you who belong to the... come up here, Paul. I didn't realize I was going to get to do this. Come up here, Paul. When we started our men's ministry, we named it the Band of Brothers. And we just recently got us a T-shirt. And right here is Uncle Jimmy, right there. That's him. I had a picture of him, and I just screened it, scanned it, and sent it off to these folks, and they made this a little logo. So every time we wear that, we kind of take Uncle Jimmy to church with us. So yeah, that was his. That's his flag right here. So, and the reason I just show you that is to make it real for you. It's not some story or some movie. This is reality at its greatest level. Remember, Americans never ask for territory or land when we go to set people free. We only ask for plots of land where we can bury those who fall. That's all we ever ask. There's a Union soldier who was wounded in action, and I want to read you something. "During the war, as a soldier lay upon his cot in one of our hospitals, just revived from the sleep of chloroform, which had been administered to remove his right arm, he missed it and, lifting the bloody stained sheet, requested that the missing member be shown to him. His request was granted, and reaching out his left hand, he grasped the cold hand on the right and, shaking it cordially, said, 'Goodbye, old arm. We have been together a long time, but we must part now. You will never again write a letter to mother or sister, never fire another carbine rifle, nor swing another saber for the government. But I do not apologize to you You have been torn from my body, that not a single state should be torn from our union. Wow. What powerful words. The stars and stripes are a soldier's pay. He stands beneath it as he swears his oath to serve. He lifts it up for comrades to view when a victory they've made. He marches neath its furrows back home in grateful cities on parade. He finally rests beneath its colors as he's placed gently in his grave. I'm so proud of America that those who serve have the privilege of being buried under this great flag, whether it's on a battlefield in places that I couldn't even begin to pronounce, or whether it's in our own hometown. I went to a funeral for a high-ranking military official many years ago up at Arlington Cemetery. And I still have a vivid memory of that day, of the caisson, the horses pulling his casket, the armed forces there in their dress uniform. They had a choir, a military choir, singing. They had the military salute of the rifles echoing through that place. And it was awesome to be there. But you know, it's just as important whether just a guy in our neighborhood who dies and the veterans of foreign wars show up with their uniforms, not quite as straight and bright as they were when they served. Maybe they're not as good a shape as they used to be, but they perform a beautiful, beautiful remembrance for those who wore our uniform and have died. And they give this wonderful, wonderful gift. Some of you may have received this, and you remember what it felt like when they knelt before you with this flag folded so very carefully and handed it to you and said, on behalf of a grateful nation, we need to be grateful and to remember those who served. Uncle Jimmy served. Thankfully, he came back. Not all did. Not all did. The last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is freedom was presented to us to be preserved. And we started with this scripture. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Those of you who might remember seeing the movie from several years ago, Saving Private Ryan, and when Tom Hanks, who played the starring role, was on a mission to rescue this obscure soldier and send him home so that he was the last of his family, brothers that had died in the war, and they wanted to save his life, and so his family would at least have one son. And they did that, and at the cost of many lives, and to save that one. And at the end of the movie, they had that very poignant scene where, as an old man, Private Ryan returned to that place in Europe and stood and knelt at that head marker of the man who was responsible for saving his life. And you can't hear it very well, and I had to go back and research it some, but he asked him, as he stood there, did I do okay? Did I do okay? You see, the life we have, we need to look in the eyes of the hearts of soldiers around the world and say, did we do okay? Did we take good care of that which you gave to us? Did we preserve it the way you wanted us to? Free men are free to preserve the freedom that they have been presented. to maintain it, and to preserve it. True patriots live a life worthy of the freedom that they've been given. The freedom Christ has given us requires us to honor the cross and to remember what he's done. I think it's so significant in light of today's message that each time we receive communion, we repeat those words. Paul said, you know, I pass on to you that which was given to me, that on the night the Lord Jesus died, that he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me. And if we are required to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, I believe we need to remember the sacrifice of those who gave their lives. The freedom that America has been given has a requirement that we remember those who gave it to us and that we preserve it. If you haven't done this, I would encourage you to go to one of our national cemeteries. You can find, you don't have to travel very far. You can just go to Biloxi. You can go to Chalmette. If you can, you can go to Arlington National Cemetery. And just feel what takes place when you're in the presence of such greatness and such sacrifice. You know, we talk so often about going to the Holy Land, and some of you have been able to do that. And I think that's a great thing to do, and I'd love to do it. I just haven't been able to do it, so I just haven't chosen to do it so far. Not that I hadn't been able, I just haven't done it. But I remember the first time that Pat and I went to Washington, D.C. together, and we visited the Vietnam Memorial. And that's fresh. It's the war of my generation in many ways. And to stand there in that black monolith surrounds you, and to see those names written in stone, well, if you're a service person, you need to go. If you served in Vietnam, you need to go. If you're an American, I encourage you to go. It will do something on the inside of you that you will remember all the days of your life. To go to Arlington National Cemetery, to see the rows after rows after rows of those and those simple white markers with their names and their rank and their service is something to see. It does something. And what it'll do, it enkindles in you a desire to do what we're doing here today. I know not all the churches in America do this. They should. If I was in charge of the churches of America, they would. I'd make sure that they did. But I can't control that, but I can have a little bit of control around here. And that's why I wanted to spend time today talking about this. There's a brotherhood of America that must not fail. The scripture we just said, show the proper respect to everyone. Of all the things that have broken my heart in America, what's broken my heart is what I've seen in the last several years, this fracture that's taken place, this hatred, this bitterness, one against another. That will destroy a nation. It'll destroy a family. It'll destroy a nation. And we need to find a way to get back to being one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's okay to disagree. We can have disagreements, but they need to be civil. We need to respect and honor others. I've lived long enough to know that we will not always agree on everything, but you know, out of disagreement forges a better agreement many times. When we can say, yes, I never thought of it that way, and to be willing to open our hearts and minds to maybe things that we would normally not be willing to agree with. I believe in America, and I believe in the American people. Bob telling me that story about what took place on that plane, boy, that did something on the inside of me. In fact, when he told me, I just had big old tears well up inside of me. That's the America that I grew up in. And we need to do our part to try to get that back. Put away the bitterness and the anger and the foul language, and let's talk about who we are. You know, we've seen our community in Katrina, and we've seen our country in 9/11 gather together. And what it was like and how it felt. I can still see our president when he stood on that mountain of rubble with that megaphone in his hand. And when he said those words impromptu, he said, "Those that tore down these buildings will hear all of us. Because there's something that's worth living for and something worth dying for." And today we have men and women in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to this very day giving their lives. There is fresh sod that's been turned to receive the bodies of our fallen heroes. We need to remember them. And we need to remember those who are back but will never be the same. You've seen the pictures of those who've lost arms and legs and disfigured and hurt and maimed and mental problems that they'll deal with all their lives. We need to pray for those who are still around. And if we get the chance to encourage them, we're to live together as it was established by our founding fathers, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. Strong, powerful, pregnant words filled with meaning, filled with a sense of who we are, to remember those words. A willingness to honor those who serve in all the branches of service. Honor the flag. One of the first things that I spent money on as a church, when we started it, I went and bought those flags for us. And I didn't get the cheap ones. I got the best we could buy. These flags will outlive me probably. You know, because I wanted everyone who walks in the doors to know that we are believers. We have the church of the flag of the church over here. But we are patriots. But we have the flag of our country here. And we always want to honor that. Always honor that. And remember those who gave so very much that we could be here. We must never forget our America or the God who established it. We're going to close today with a special song. And Rose is going to lead us in it. It's a song that became so popular that some thought that it might replace our national anthem. But I don't think we're ready to replace our national anthem with it. But it's a song that you know, and it's a song that you love, and it binds together our Christian heritage and our national heritage. Yes.
I just want to say something real briefly. A lot of people don't realize this. When a person raises their right hand and swears to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, they sacrifice their own constitutional rights and come under what's called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. There are no Bill of Rights in the UCMJ. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't realize that. The sacrifices that veterans make for us, I've done that and I would do it again. Because Christ gave up his rights for me.
Amen.
something to think about.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Let's all stand.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white with
Amen. Father, we thank you. Yes, Ms. Pat, you're trying to say something?
Just to remind everybody about the, I don't know if it's a service or a memorial, but tonight on PBS.
I'm sorry, Pat.
For those who might not know, every Memorial Day weekend, they have a service in Washington, D.C., and it'll be on tonight. They broadcast it on PBS. It's 7 o'clock our time.
Yeah, I think it's 7 o'clock our time.
Very, very well worth seeing if you don't know about it.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for letting us be here today. Thank you for the privilege of calling you Lord. Thank you for the privilege of calling America home. Father, let the gospel of Jesus Christ pierce every heart that's in this nation, no matter where they came from around the world, people come here because of our freedom. Father, let them find out that national freedom, as good as it is, isn't enough, that we need spiritual freedom, and that they might receive you, and only in receiving you will they really experience the freedom that America was intended to bring. Father, let it be so. Father, watch over us. Bring us close together once again as a people, that we might honor you and honor our nation. Father, watch over us today as we go our separate ways. Lord, those who are traveling, to protect them in the busy highways and bring them back home safely where they belong. And put it in the heart of every believer to stop somewhere along the way, today and tomorrow, and say thank you for that which you've done for us. Let your blessings fall upon us. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you need prayer, I'll be up here to pray for you.